Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is our text for this morning. We're going to read related to the Lord's Supper. Colossians 3, let's look at verses 2 through 4. Paul writes, "Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." There are a number of things that Paul points out in this text that are worth our time, but the thing that I want to draw your attention to are those two statements in verses 3 and 4, that your life is hidden with Christ, and Christ is our life. These are ultimately statements about identity. I want you to think with me about identity for just a moment. I have in my hand a driver's license issued by the state of Indiana. It's a form of ID, and it will tell you certain things about me. It'll tell you how tall I am. It'll tell you how much I weigh. It'll tell you my gender, my eye color, hair color, whether or not I'm an organ donor, even my address. This is one of those IDs that's called a real ID, if you know what that is. It's got a little star emblem on it that's supposed to give me privileges that I guess regular driver's licenses don't give me. How well do you really know me? How well does this really identify who I am? I mean, it identifies some things about my physical appearance, where I live, but it can't really tell you things about what's really important to me. It doesn't include anything about my job. It doesn't include a lot of things, in fact, about how we typically identify ourselves. It doesn't say anything about our families or our education or our hobbies, whether we're a part of charitable organizations or what our political affiliations are. None of that information is included on this real ID. There are a lot of ways that we can identify ourselves. But I think what this text in Colossians 3 reminds us of is that there's really only one way that ultimately matters. And that is the way that God identifies us in Christ. Let me get you to think about why it's so important that we understand our identity in Christ and embrace it above any other thing that we could identify ourselves with in this world. Number one, it's important that we embrace it because God is our creator. And as our creator, he has, "This is why I created you." In fact, that would be his message through the prophets often, is that the created thing doesn't really have a right to say to the creator, "Why did you make me this way? I'd rather you have done something different with me." God, as our creator, gets to determine our identity. What's remarkable, though, is that even as we have sought to identify ourselves with other things that this world offers, he has recreated us in Christ for this same purpose, for good works, as Paul would tell the Ephesians. That we have not just been created in the image of God, but we've been recreated in Christ's image, that is our identity. And so when we read in Colossians 3 that our life is hidden with Christ and that Christ is our life, what this should teach us is that this is an identity in Christ that supersedes all other identities. Skip down to what Paul says in verse 9 of this same chapter, Colossians 3 verse 9. He goes on to say in verse 9 of chapter 3, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all." We notice from these verses that our identity in Christ supersedes things like ethnicity and cultural background. Our identity in Christ supersedes things like our socioeconomic status and our educational background. All of those things, when we come into this image of Christ, when we're created in Him, recreated, those things take a back seat to that singular image, that identity. I think it's also important that this text shows us not only that this identity supersedes all other identities, but think about what it means for our sins. Let's go and notice verses 5 through 8. Verse 5 says, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all to speech from your mouth." Has there ever been a time in your life when you identified with any of these things on that list? Or you knew somebody who identified as an immoral person? Or an impure person, or somebody who is greedy. And it wasn't just that you knew that about them, it was that they knew that about themselves, or you knew that about yourself. This is who I am. For somebody who knows what you've been created to be, and you look in the mirror and you see things like immorality and passion and greed, or malice and slander and abusive speech, there is a tension there, isn't there? Because we know that this isn't what we're made to be, and yet sometimes we get so consumed with certain behaviors and habits that it's hard to picture ourselves as anything different. And that's one of the ways that Satan opposes us. But one of the things that this text shows us, or this identity shows us about our sins, is that, number one, if we're in a position in our lives where we look at that old man or that old woman, and he or she disgusts us, or we're ashamed of that person that we used to be, this new identity is something worth embracing because it allows us to move past those things. Without this image of Christ, without being able to be hidden in Him and to have Him as our life, there would be no recreation, there would be no newness of life. And so this new identity is what allows us to move past the things that we are ashamed of. But if we're in a situation where those things are in our lives and we're not yet ashamed of them, maybe those things are present in my life and I'm still drawn to them, I think what this text does is it shows us that if we want to have this identity in Christ, we have to die to those things. That's the language of the text, is that in verse 5, he says, "Consider the members of your earthly body as dead." Some versions, the literal translation is, "put to death the members of your body." So if those things are present in my life and I'm not ashamed of them like I should be, this identity that Christ offers me should get me to think seriously about the fact that I've got to put those things away, and I can if I'll embrace this identity that Christ gives me. Let me ask a little more of a fundamental question, though, and that's this question. Why even give up the identity that we've crafted in the world, whether it's related to sinful conduct, or it's related to education, or it's related to hobbies or political preferences or job or family or you name it? Why trade those things in, those meaningful things, for a different identity? I mean, identity is one of the things that is most precious to us. It's one of the things that people fight for. They go to court to have the right to be the person that they identify with. So why should we ever give something like that up? Remember what Paul said in a different letter, in the Galatian letter, chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 20. He makes this statement, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." So why do we give up our identity? Because Christ gave up his. Remember how Paul said this in the Philippian letter in chapter 2. He talked about how Jesus didn't consider equality with God as something to be held on to. But remember how that text goes? He emptied himself. He let that identity, he set that identity aside, and he took on a different identity. He took on the identity of a human. And he went to the cross and gave up that broken human body when he had everything that a person could ever want. Jesus gave up his identity for us. He gave up himself for us. And so that's why we give up our identity for him. But going back to Colossians 3, I think it gives us another reason in the text. Colossians 3, do you notice what verse 4 told us? That when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, something's going to happen. I think the idea of us being hidden with Christ in God is that Christ right now is at the right hand of God. He's hidden from our sight. And our spiritual life is in some ways hidden in that heavenly realm as well. But there's going to come a time when faith becomes sight. Christ is going to be revealed. And what Paul points out in that text is that when that happens, we will have glory with Christ as well. When he is revealed, we will also be revealed with him in glory. And so those are the reasons that we give up any of these things that we could identify with on this planet, in this life. And we give those things a backseat to our identity in Christ. Now, let's talk about this on a practical level. What does this actually mean? What does it look like in our day-to-day lives? We'll skip ahead in chapter 3 to verse 18. And I'm just going to point out some instructions, kind of moving through the text quickly. But notice who Paul, verse 18, says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord." Wives, is that always an easy thing to do? I mean, even for husbands who are good and godly, it's sometimes very challenging. What about the next verse? "Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." How about you, husbands? Is that something that you've got down in your life that's always an easy thing to do? Verse 20. "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Children, how are you doing with that? Verse 21. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." Dads? I mean, you see the point, these are instructions for specific people in specific roles in life that are not always easy. They're very high callings. In verse 22, slaves are told to work in a certain way. And if we take that and kind of modernize it, we think about how we should be on the job site, how we should be as employees. In chapter 4, verse 1, he addresses masters. In chapter 4, verse 2, he talks about how we should pray. In chapter 4, verse 5, he talks about how we should interact with unbelievers. And the point of all of this is simply this, that there are times in each of those roles where those instructions that he gives are very, very difficult. For whatever reason, we just don't feel like following through with that. And yet, then we choose to behave as he would in every relationship, in every circumstance. See, that's the beauty of being able to hide my life in Christ, is that now I on an intellectual level, I know that I have something better to call me to live in a better way. It's not just how should I react in this way, it's how did Jesus react to this? And the beauty of this is that Jesus can identify with each of those circumstances, each of those different roles that Paul talks about here. Whether he's talking about wives or children in roles of subjection, Jesus knew what that was like. Whether he talks about fathers or employers in roles of authority, leadership, Jesus understood what that was like. And in each of those situations, he set the perfect example. No matter what relationship we find ourselves in, we can look to the life of Jesus and find a model for how we should behave. So if Christ is our life, then that means that when the going gets tough as a wife or a husband or a parent or a child or an employee or a boss, Instead of reverting to the way that I really want to act, I see that my life is hidden in Christ, and I choose to act in the way that He wants me to act, in the way that He would act. That's the beauty of this identity. And so as we turn our attention to the communion, to the bread and the cup, all of this is a reminder that for those who are Christians, you have died to yourself. That Christ is your life. And since Jesus gave His life for us, we let Him be our identity. He gave His life for us so that we would be able, in turn, to find life in Him.